Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, I don't know if you can call it the Moscow Spring or what you want to call it, but election results recently in Russia have not been exactly what anyone expected, least of all Vladimir Putin. You would think a guy who basically has the ability to make critics in print disappear would be able to generally help kind of steer the electorate towards the conclusion that he wanted. And most people just expected that the people who were still in love with Vladimir Putin, his party, would be doing great. Not the case. Barely hanging on to the majority. So he is still the prime minister. He probably cares more about next year's presidential race anyway. The bad news is the Communist Party is the one that made the biggest gains here. But for a guy who's basically been depicted as a modern-day mythological small-g god, the fact that he barely hung on to a functional majority means that the times they are a-changing in Russia, and his strong-handed tactics might be wearing a little thin there.
It is. I just want to say, good to see the reset button is having all the results we wanted to see in Russia. No, I mean, look, and if you ever wanted an indication that the Russian bear is not what it used to be, they can't even fix an election the way they used to. I guess one of the things that's kind of pleasing is just, you know, the unexpectedness of believing that, you know, Putin had, you know, ruled that country with an iron fist. There is a little dispute that he was the real power in that country. As you said, you know, his party's going to lose a large number of seats and barely clinging to a majority. Now, we may not like the alternatives, as it seems in a great deal of that hemisphere. The options are bad and worse. But in a, you know, in a world in which there is a greater, you know, fear or anxiety that the United States is receding from the world and losing power and not going to have the budgetary or financial or military power to shape things around the world, you fear who's going to fill that vacuum. And Vladimir Putin had no problem stepping in to fill that vacuum. Anything that kind of undermines him at home is probably, in the long term, good for us. Now, obviously, there is a March presidential election. My guess is that this will be seen as kind of a dress rehearsal of how do we repress the vote, you know, that we don't like in that one. Interesting, it sounds like Russia might have to spend a lot more money and that they're trying to improve the public mood out there. So, you know, if you're betting on big spending by the Russian government, there's your financial tip for the day. So, I mean, in a way, it's not like this is phenomenal news for the United States, but anything that undermines Putin is probably the long-term good news for America. So we can drink to that with a bit of Russian vodka.
Yeah, vodka martini on number one today. I find it fascinating that Hillary Clinton, all upset about the potential vote fraud in these parliamentary elections, which there may well be. It's not like Russia's got a strong history of election fraud, but she doesn't seem to have any trouble watching the Muslim Brotherhood ramping up the vote in some of these other countries. So it's very selective criticism and furrowed brow concern on the part of the State Department, I think.
One of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe said that the election was like a game and only some players were allowed to compete, and the game was tilted in favor of one of the players. And they're blaming Putin, they're blaming Russian security state, and Acorn, surprisingly. didn't realize they had that global reach, but that's, you know, that's who they are. I'm kidding on that last one, as far as I know.
Right. Boy, you know you've really lost some clout when you cheat and you still barely win. Wow. He's got a lot of work to do before March. Anyway, on to martini number two now and back to American politics. And Mitt Romney is definitely finding himself in probably the toughest spot of the primary season so far with the surge of Newt Gingrich and even to some extent in Iowa with Ron Paul pretty much being neck and neck with him. But Mitt Romney's got a little bit of an issue he's got to defend himself against as it relates to his time in Massachusetts. No, we're not talking about Romney care at this point. But the very end of his term, we're learning more about the fact that at taxpayer expense, he pretty much swapped out all the hard drives and computers, scrubbed the database clean, so there's not really much of an official digital track record we can follow here. And as you pointed out to me off air, Jim, it's not illegal, but it seems really weird and certainly not a good allocation of taxpayer dollars.
One of the things I just observe, kind of a common rule of politics, is that if there's something that a figure refuses to tell you, it can't be good news. We know Barack Obama's transcripts can't be that good, because if they were, he'd be very happy to go out and put them all with straight A's. In fact, even if Barack Obama was a B student, you figure that transcript would have made its way out at some point. So we can kind of get it set. Now the question is just how bad is that? Herman Cain will not disclose the amount of money that he gave Ginger White, which to me is a way of saying it's a lot. You know, if it was just $50, you know, everyone would kind of shrug their shoulders. Well, Mitt Romney and his staff spent close to $100,000 to buy hard drives and to wipe them and to do everything possible to erase the electronic records of all of their internal communications during his one term as governor of Massachusetts. Now, Greg, I don't know what's in those emails and in those internal records, but based on this, you got to figure there's at least one. Man, the individual mandate is awesome. And boy, this is going to work fantastic. Wouldn't it be just fabulous if we could get this instituted across the entire country?
Right.
This is so constitutional. I can't believe anyone would ever complain. I mean, we don't know what's in there, but because how good could it be if they're putting this much effort into erasing it? And, you know, hopefully there's nothing in the vein of, oh, we really have these nutty conservatives fooled, or, man, there's no way we lose to McCain in 08. There's just something in there that clearly Team Romney doesn't want the public to see. And what makes it complicated is that these are state computers, and that as much as I guess that you're allowed to purchase those hard drives, et cetera, like, look, everything everybody does in government, they're doing on stuff that was bought by the taxpayers, and thus the taxpayers are the real owners of it, not those who happen to be working in those state positions these days. So not reassuring. I mean, in a way, we're talking about the era from 2002 to 2006, and most folks already know what they think of Romney's term as governor. There are some people who like it. There are some people who don't like it. The health care proposal is not really a you know, wowing conservatives with good reason. So it is what it is. I think it is a, you know, this just is going to underline the lack of reassurance conservatives have about Romney.
Gingrich, of course, is now leading the pack nationally in Iowa. He's doing quite well. And even in a poll in Iowa about who you think would do a better job matching up with President Obama, he's slightly ahead. So Romney's argument there is slipping at least a little bit, too. So it has not been a good few days here for Mitt Romney. And this story is the last thing he needs. But if, in fact, this happened, which it's clear that it did, well, he should be answering for it at least a little bit. But Gingrich is not out of the water yet because Nancy Pelosi, the former House Speaker, current Democratic leader, says that she's got the dirt on Newt. Now, she's walked this back a little bit, but just yesterday she was essentially saying that I was on this ethics committee that investigated Gingrich back when the whole advance for the book deal thing was going on in the mid-90s. And so I've got things that, that will drop when the time is right. So basically she's just waiting to see if he's going to be the nominee. And if he is, she'll drop it. If not, then, well, she'll try and find something on Mitt Romney or whoever else is the nominee. Pelosi's naked politics here and just partisanship is pretty ridiculous. And because she is so strident, it's hard for her to play this off in any sort of a reasonable way. So even as she tries to walk it back, it's still pretty obvious what she's all about.
Yeah, and I think we're not really surprised. Nancy Pelosi says something stupid. Really, some people would say we're kind of cheating in our third martini. We could run that one any day of the week. But the fact that for at least several moments, the concept of the deliberations of the ethics committee being confidential is pretty shocking. You know, I mean, in a way, it's kind of like a jury's deliberations there. I mean, you know, you have certain stuff that is put forth before the public, but you don't know whether an accuser is telling the truth or not telling the truth. And, you know, for all the headaches and stuff that Newt had, nothing ever, you know, certainly nothing, he never faced any charges over anything done during that kind of stuff. And it's, look, Pelosi, who's got her own issues, really should not be throwing stones in this category. But for one moment, you know, talking with Talking Points Memo, this liberal blog, she kind of just, I guess, lets herself go. Oh, let me tell you, when I was on the ethics committee, we heard so much stuff about it. I'm going to have to tell you about that someday, without realizing that all this stuff is confidential. I hear this stuff and think, man, I hope Pelosi's not on the Intelligence Committee.
She used to be.
Let me say, you know, Greg, let me tell you about where all our spies are and what their cover names are. And you know, all so she does this, and Newt said, you know, doesn't quite say bring it on, but observes that that's a blatant violation of House rules if she ever does reveal that stuff. And he hopes her colleagues will move to have her, you know, reprimanded or perhaps worse on that. That would instantly turn into a partisan vote. But remember, Republicans control the House now. So if they wanted to reprimand Pelosi for leaking confidential information from the Ethics Committee, you know, they could do so. And as one of my readers pointed out, it's like, look, Pelosi, this is what you have a staff for. You take somebody on your staff who's expendable and you have them leak the confidential information to you. So the fact that she's openly saying she will do this herself is you know, I mean, it's kind of par for the course for Pelosi. We could have even made this the good martini because I like the way, you know, Newt kind of said, all right, yeah, I'll do that to see you get in legal trouble. and she has backed down saying, oh, no, completely misconstrued what I said. I simply meant everything that we knew was out in the public domain, which is like the almost like 180 degrees, the opposite of what she was saying to this reporter. But hey, you know, it's Nancy Pelosi. What are you going to do?
Yeah, she's not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. So, Jim, have a great time. I know you're headed out of town the next couple of days. We'll see you back on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again tomorrow for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.